بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الذين يؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم. بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The topic that has been given for tonight's talk is one of preferring others to one's own self. You know, it's a wonderful topic, and it's lovely to talk about this in the abstract. But the reality of this topic is that it's like talking about graduate studies for people who are still in, you know, elementary. This actually doing true ithar is actually so advanced, and it requires giving so much of oneself that it is very difficult to do unless one has been properly trained. It's a very hard thing. It's on the surface of it, it seems very easy. But when you really get down to what true ithar is, it can only be accomplished by one effacing his self of I, and connecting himself and doing things only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone has that much ikhlas, then that person can be spit on his face, and he will still take that same spit, he'll kiss it, and then he'll go and, you know, take care of that other person. But it's very hard. Rasulullah ﷺ had this sifa of having ithar for another individual. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى. Allah has not left you. You are still the beloved one. وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى. And for you, the akhira is better than the prior or the previous, meaning the dunya. وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah will surely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, see, if you use just sa before a mudari verb, it gives the extent that something's going to happen in the future. Sofa brings something close. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ. Shortly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you in the near future. يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Allah will give you. فَتَرْضَى. And you will be pleased. In response to this ayah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if that is the case, Ya Allah, if that is the case, O my beloved Allah, then I shall never be pleased except the last person in my ummah enters into Jannah. On that day, you know how much Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved Allah? He was crazy about Allah. His day was Allah, his night was Allah, his life was Allah. How much he must yearn to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when two people love each other, the thing that is most painful is separation. I know that. I know people who've been separated who are truly in love, and it is so much pain. They can't sleep at night. They cry themselves to sleep. So now you think Rasulullah wants to wait on the day of Qiyamah to be with Allah? He said, La, I'm not going to enter Jannah. I don't want to enter into Jannah until the last of my ummatis enters into Jannah. And look at that from the other side. The pious people from our past, they used to say that when we get into a situation with another individual, and I know even people in this day and time, right, this day and time who have this mentality, they say they completely forgive the other person. Why? Because on that day, I don't want to have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wait due to my account. Because there's going to still be some questioning, right? They said, whatever fight I have with you, who cares? It's not worth it. My Rasulullah is more beloved to me. They did Ithar Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ala anfusihim. And they preferred Allah Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over their own selves. This ayah was, it's very famous, and I'm sure the other speakers will probably speak about it as well. It was revealed, with regards to the three Sahaba that were on the battlefield. One of the Sahabi, he wanted to come and give some water as a certain individual was within the throes of death, and then even though he was in the throes of death and in agony, he saw someone moaning to his side and he motioned, give him the water. When he went to give him the water, I believe Sahabi's name was Hisham. The first person was this Sahabi's cousin. Then he saw another person and then he said, go ahead and give it to him. And by the time he came back, this person had died. And by the time he rushed back to his cousin had also passed away. Right? And this ayah was revealed regarding them. يؤثرون على أنفسهم, and they prefer others over themselves. ولو كان بهم خصاصة, even though there may be poverty. And the reason ولو كان بهم خصاصة is even, look, Imam Ghazali actually writes about this. Preferring someone else, someone over your own self, the reason it's so difficult is it doesn't mean just doing nice things to them, right? Or being nice to someone. It means when you really need something, you really want something, then you give it up for that other person, right? And you'll only know what that means when you give up something that you really want. Generally, people don't give up things that they really want. They give up things which are expendable, but the thing that you need the most, very few people in the world are ever ready to part with those things. A very famous story about the three Sahabas, Riyadu Salihin, the three individuals actually who were in a cave, and each one made dua with certain different things. The one salih thing that they had done, one of the salih things that they had done in their life, and the rock moved a little bit from the cave and eventually got out. One of them was, for example, that the man who actually stood, his children were crying, with the milk for his parents, and he waited for them through the night. Now, according to the Sharia, the children had a right on that milk. So how did this earn the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because he said, look, what happens is, when it's your own family, right? When it's your own family, you become like one unit, right? You become like one unit. And sometimes, when you go and give in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're doing something, then someone says, like, how come you're so nice to everyone else and so you're mean to your family? When you're that way because you have that type of relationship with them. People on the outside are literally that, they're on the outside. When you're on the inside, you have the inside track, you're one. And so because of this preference of giving preference to someone else over his own self, right? Then it earned a certain amount of barakah. There was a certain amount of rahmah that was associated with that. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he writes about the rights of brotherhood. If anyone reads that, they'll be grilled, because who could live up to those type of standards? The very lowest level that he writes is that which you have which is extra, you should give to your brother. That's the lowest. We don't even do the lowest. Then what is the highest, right? Is when you need it yourself, and then you give it to someone else, right? You're like, I'd rather have him eat than my child eat. I'd rather have him be happy than my family be happy. I'd rather have them have a good life than myself had a good life. So I was like, why would you do that? Why are you crazy to do that? Why would anyone do that for anyone else? They would do that because if they do that to someone else in the day on this world, then Allah will do that with them on the akhirah. That's why. And so the people, that's what I'm saying, very few people can do it, because you have to have that much iman. Right? You have to have that much iman. I'll tell you, it applies to sinners and saint alike. I know one righteous individual, he wanted to go and spend time with one of the very pious sheikhs in the world, right? And he wanted to train spiritually, so on and so forth. So they're saving, crunching the dollar, trying to cut corners. Eventually they're like, inshallah, working hard, two jobs, trying to get the money so they can go and spend time with them. And so the husband says to the wife, and the wife obviously also wants to go, right? Because she wants to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the husband's like, they finally, inshallah, mashallah, get the money. So he says, now we can make the plans. And then the wife said, she sat and she thought, you know what you should do? Go and find that student who has the most potential for growth, who doesn't have the money to go, and take him instead of me. You don't know, that takes a lot. When you have that desire to get close to Allah, to give that up, it takes a lot. Right? Go and take that person in front of me. Another righteous individual who I know, his in his family, his, I think 7 or 8 years, his wife has not had a vacation. They weren't rich. They had a tight life. Not everyone is well-to-do. 7 or 8 years without a proper vacation. Finally, there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created some type of means where the husband had a little bit more money. So he told his wife that, okay, you know, we saved up such and such money. Let's go. We'll go to such and such place. And also in that place, they were probably going to do work of the deen or this and that, but it would have been a break. It would have just been a change. Because you know, no matter who you are, everyone needs a break. Right? You're human. If you prick me, I will bleed. Type of thing. So then what did the wife say? She said, then what happened was this Gaza situation came up. Right? This Gaza situation came up. And she said, there's no way I can go with you. She said, I just can't go with you. She tells her husband, whatever money I know we don't have a lot of money, but whatever money that you're going to spend on me for that vacation, you go and give it to the children of Gaza. That's a tough bullet to bite. So what happened is, in the interim, you know, things eased up, and eventually the door opened, and you know, the Israeli troops, quote unquote, pulled out, and so on and so forth, and the situation was over. Now the husband felt very happy. He said, now, okay, alhamdulillah, this is over. I'm going to go into my wife. We can finally go on her, quote unquote, vacation. She'll get a break. It'll be so nice. So when he went in, look at the test. So he goes and tells his wife. She said, no, I already made the decision that that money should go to the children of Gaza. They still need the money. Just send it to them instead. And when you make a sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a circumstance for you as well. So then husband said, you know what? I'm going to do what it takes. I'll give money to those children of Gaza, and I'll take extra money and take you with me. Just ended up going. Another individual I know, that couple had like no money to their name. They're so poor. And then whatever money they had gotten for their wedding, they all donated everything, right? But then Allah gave a lot of barakah in their marriage. They had so much barakah in their marriage, mashallah. So, you know, with a marriage, you know, the woman gets all this jewelry, so on and so forth. This is when the Iraq situation had took place, if I'm not mistaken. So then, you know, the husband had learned something about some people from Islamic Relief. They had gone over there and they talked about, you know, the young children, how thirsty they were and this and that. And the, you know, the dire circumstances that these children were living in. So he came and just, you know, narrated to the wife. He didn't say anything. So what did the wife say? The wife said, whatever wealth, you know, we hear the stories about Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, he took everything that he owned and he gave it. And then Umar radiallahu anh, he brought half of everything, right? What have you, and then Abu Bakr brought everything. What have you left for your family? Allah and His Rasul. I'm telling you, no, 21st century stories, right? She said, I don't have anything, I only have this gold. That's all she had to her name. She'd be like wiped out clean. She says, give everything to them. Give everything to them. And she took every single thing that she had. Or almost every single thing. Allahu alam. And she donated in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then someone found, look at the ajeeb rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has no need for that wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happened is that someone found out that that person had done that. They went and they said, we are going to buy all that wealth. You have to keep that gold, and whatever money, which is like thousands of dollars, was going to come from that, we are going to give to the people of Iraq. Allah returned the thing, and at the same time, she had made the sacrifice. The hard part is actually making the sacrifice. The hard part is actually making that initial sacrifice, because you, and the only, no, it comes back later, But you might not. That's when it's hard to make it. If you know this 100% is going to come back, then it's not sacrifice, right? It's just a game. When you know you might not get it back, then you give it up. When it hurts. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're not going to achieve piety until you give when it hurts. Look, you guys are students. When you give $50 right now, it hurts a lot more than when you're going to be making $100,000 as attendings. Then even if you give $5,000, it's not going to be worth that $50 that you gave when it hurts. No one student of knowledge. He was separated from his family. And the only way that he could keep in contact with his family is in that they had these phones where like you have these, Yahoo Messenger, not Yahoo Messenger, one of those chat services, I don't know, whatever that was called. So he would like type in whatever he needed to type on that, texting, how you guys text, whatever. So he would text it in and then he would send it to his wife and then his wife would write something back on the computer. And so every time he would study for certain hours and then he would keep some time, quote unquote, family time. That's only family time that he would have with his wife. And then throughout the whole year, he had that taman that he says, when I get out and I finish my studies, I'm going to save some money so I can take my wife for Hajj, because that was her desire. She always wanted to go for Hajj. She wanted to see Baytullah. He used to be so quote unquote stingy with money that he would not be scared. He would feel bad to spend like even $1 to himself to buy some food from downstairs when he was hungry. But he's like, I could save this and this could go towards our fund. He loved his wife, right? And she loved him. So they sacrificed for each other. She sacrificed by staying away from him and he sacrificed by trying to, do what he had to do. So what happened is this was his only mode of communication, What happened one day is while he was studying for his exams, he went up for salah. And someone came and he forgot that his phone was downstairs. So someone came and stole the phone. Right? So he just immediately got cut off from his wife. So it's really, now he comes back down and it obviously really, really hurts. Right? I hope I'm not mixing up the story, but from what I remember. So now he's like, felt so bad because he was almost able to go back and he was going to sell this phone. And this was one of those like more high-tech phones in that country. It's like, less developed than America. So he could get some good money for it, right? So he was going to take that couple hundred or whatever money he got for it. And he was going to use that to also to quote unquote support the Hajj fund. So he was like really looking forward to it. And he's like, he's been tied for so long. And then when he comes back, he's like, he remembered upstairs that his phone was downstairs. But then he's like, let me just pray my sunnah. I'll do tawakkal on Allah. Then when he goes downstairs, the phone is gone. Oh, it hurt. It really hurt. He had a little bit of money left in his pocket. There was another student who was also separated from his wife. And that person's phone went bad. So he's also cut out from his wife. So he was talking to the such and such person. So this person, I think he had 100 or something in his pocket, or 50, whatever. He took the 50 and he said, Assalamu alaikum to that brother, put the 50 in his hand and he walked away. It was like putting a dagger in his own heart. I know he probably had tears when he was walking away, right? It's hard. So then he went back to his spot. He started to start studying again. Then he raised his hands to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, please give it back to me. And supposedly, like the people who saw it, it was like a miracle. After a little while, a group of people came. They came and sat in front of this young man. And they all had their heads down. And they said, we're very sorry. I said, you're very sorry? He said, one of us has taken your phone. They came and they gave the phone back. And he says, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Like no Yusuf said to his brother, there's no blame on you, just go. Right? He just let them go on their way. Right? They were astonished because they thought they would get a sound rocking. And this person was astonished. After that, like one of the other students were sitting in the back, he's like, man, can you make dua for me? Make dua for me. Allah listens. Allah listens. وَالسَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And it happens in front of your eyes. When the Sahaba migrated from Mecca to Medina, Rasulullah made this uhuwa between the Muhajireen and the Ansar. How did the Ansar deal with it? The Ansari would tell the Muhajir, he says that, I have two houses, one house is yours. I have two wives, one wife is yours. And you pick which one you want. You think he didn't love his wife? And you think the wives didn't love their husbands? No, but because the love of Rasulullah ﷺ outweighed any other love in their life, it was easy for them to do that. It's never easy, honestly. But they did it. It's hard. When this ayah came, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You'll never achieve piety until you give till it hurts. There was a sahabi, I think Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala an. He had a garden. He had a garden that was the most beloved thing to him. It was a garden that was close to the masjid, right? Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa used to come there often because it's such a beautiful garden, had cool water. The desert is a big deal. It's a big deal. When this ayah came down, he said, this is what I love the most. This is what I have to give up. See, if you want to achieve this maqam of ithar, the way you do it, if one is willing and one is ready, you have to look into your life and see what you like. What do you love? Right? Maybe it's your degree. Look, all of us love our degree. How many of us would say, Mom and Dad, you know, I love my degree. I'm really glad that you're educating me. But you know, there's another brother that, who's, you know, mashallah, I don't really know him very well, but maybe you can just pay for his education instead of mine and I'll just go to a second-rate community college. Who would do that? So it's easy to talk about these things. Very few people actually do it. And that's why I wanted to rather talk about things which are much more practical, right? Things which are achievable in our realm of existence. And that's fulfilling huququl ibad. See, isar is the second level. In medicine, they teach us first do no harm, right? Forget about whether you're healing the patient. First do no harm, right? That's the basic tenet. We do too much harm to each other. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim should exude such an aura that people feel so safe and secure around them. They don't fear any cutting remarks. They don't feel ever to be let down. They don't ever feel that even if they make a fault, that someone will cover up for them and hide it for them. They'll put satar on them. Man satara nas satarahu Allah. Allah will make satar on them. This happened in the time of Sahaba. Look, one person passes wind. They didn't want that person to feel embarrassed. So they all got up. Right? And they said, let's all go make renew our wudu. They used to care so much about each other. First, do no harm. The one thing, know this in your life and be very careful. Never hurt another person's heart. Muslim, non-Muslim, never one. Because da'watul mazloom, straight to Allah. Never mess with another person. Don't ever hurt anyone. It's just not worth it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a very soft spot for the broken heart. So one principle that we can do is always try to be kind, always try to be nice, and never do any harm to any other person. Not with your words, not with your actions, right? Not with anything. I'll tell you honestly, most of us, we're here, most of our problems don't happen with our friends, right? Sometimes it happens. Most of our problems happen with our parents. Right now it's going to happen with our parents, and then when you guys get married, it's going to happen with your wife, right? And the wife with the husband. And then you call up and they say, can I have mediation, or can I do this and this and that, and so on and so forth. This is the real, these are the proving grounds. If you think that, oh, you know, I just need to get out of the thumb of my parents and I'll do great with my family. If you can't get along with your parents, you have a couple of surprises ahead of you when you get married. It's the same type of sacrifice, the same type of compromise, the same type of moving beyond your own self that takes to get along with your parents or your brother or your sister or your sibling or that person that you absolutely hate and gets under your nerves, that takes to get along in a marriage. When you're in a marriage, you'll have to know, there'll be times where you know, not times, every time you'll know that you're the right one, right? Everyone thinks that, my teacher used to say, do cheeza mein aib nahi nazar aati hai, that there are two things that you don't see any aib in, right? Apne aap ki aqal aur bachche ki shakal. Right? Your own aql and your son's shakal, your son's appearance. So, Everyone thinks they're right. So you think that you're completely right. I can't believe she's getting mad at me. I do so much for her and she still says and complains about this and da 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 da. And I can't believe he doesn't understand what he did wrong. He's known me for 8 years. What, you expect me to be psychic? Well, no, I don't expect you to be psychic. You've known me for 8 years, right? I expect you to have common sense. I guess you don't have any common sense. So now I don't have common sense, right? Right. Not only am I unthoughtful, not thoughtful, but now I don't have common sense. And you have a lot of common sense, right? Well, what are you trying to say? So on and so, right? So this is, I guess, like, no, one jab, one jab, one jab. Ba'ala yab'ulu. One of the names of a spouse is, if you take the variant Shaz, you know, derivation, it's probably not correct, but it means to refuse to respond to provocation in a situation of war. Whoever is married knows what that means, right? So you'll know you're completely right, and then you suck it up, and you go to the other person, and you say, you know, John, I'm sorry. Right? So I'm sorry. And then the wife's like, no. All right? What do you mean you're sorry? You should be sorry. Oh my God. 1, 4, 3. But then the people of the tasawwuf, then you say, sorry again. And you say sorry again, and you say sorry again, and you keep on kissing them and hugging them until they start smiling. Then you make up, right? And eventually over the years, they become yours. Then you can do no wrong in their eyes. One time, one student wrote to his sheikh, a student very close to him, close to me. And he said that, sheikh, you know, all things aside, you know, at the end of the day, a husband has certain huquq, right? You know what he said? He said, for the salik, you have no haq. You have no rights. For the one who's going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have no rights. Just efface yourself. Think you're nothing. This is ithar. Oh, we're talking about first, do no harm, right? So, okay, you guys aren't married yet. We can talk about marriage some other conference. We'll talk about parents, okay? I just want to talk 4 or 5 things about parents. A lot of people mess up with their parents. A lot of people mess up with their parents. And they don't understand what a big deal it is. Look, you might not have to do a lot of good deeds to get into Jannah, but you have to stay away from the big haram things. And you can't disobey your parents. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud or Abdullah ibn Abbas, I'm forgetting which one, he says you have to listen to your parents wa'in dhanama, even if they're oppressive. And we think our parents are always oppressive. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That is the maqam that Allah has given them. You just close your lips and you just follow it. Whether you like it, and you know, they tell us so many things. Look, I've been a kid too, right? And I am fiercely independent, believe you me, right? I am fiercely independent. And I'm very opinionated, right? About what I think is the right thing and what I think believe is the right course of action. But if a sunnah is not allowed, is not concerned, and a mustahab is not concerned, right? If it's something which is the mubah things which are completely permissible, I just suck it up and do whatever it takes. If it means my parents said that we want you here and then I was going to take everyone out to dinner or to go out with the family, then I'm with my parents. Because parents are number one. Rasulullah SAW, he was talking to Sahaba and he says, shall I tell you about the 3 major sins? Ash-shirk billah wa uququl walidain. And being disobedient to your parents. The prayer of the disobedient, al-aq, is not raised above his head. There's one sahabi who was passing away. He couldn't read the kalima. Rasulullah found out, he went to the mother, he said, what is the situation? The mother had a problem with the son because he felt that he preferred his wife over his mother. He said, just let him go. She said, no. He said, just let him go. She said, no. So I'm paraphrasing. So he said, bring some wood. She said, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to burn your son. She said, burn my son? She said, don't burn him. She says, if you don't let him go, then he's going to burn in the hellfire. Then she let him go. And then Bilal went into the room. He saw the sahabi. He said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He passed away. Whether we're 30 years old or 50 years old or 20 years old or 15 years old, we all have parents. And our Jannah, our door to Jannah is through our service to our parents. Do so much khidmah of them, so much khidmah of them. Not when they ask you to take out the garbage, not when they ask you to mow the lawn, not when they ask you to do so much for them that unki dil se dua nikalti hai. That from their own side, one thing is asking someone, oh Maulana, can you make dua for me? You know, that dua, okay, has some effect. But you know what dua really has an effect? When you do something very good for someone else, and from their heart that dua comes out. When that dua comes out for a mother for her child, or father for her child, la turad insha'Allah. La turad insha'Allah. It will not be rejected. And that's the way you increase in your deen. Right? You don't have to do these majestic feats. First, do no harm. Know what it means? Do no harm. Hey mom, your mom's like, Beta, you can't go out tonight. Mom, you know this this is what? وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْيُمْ. Do not even say oof. You know what, when people say oof, when your body gets tight and you can't do anything? The body gets tight and you can't do anything. And so you can't go against them, so you just can't, and you do that release by saying oof. And as the Mufassirin said, that if there's anything less than oof in the Quran that could be mentioned, if there's anything less than oof that could have been mentioned, then it would have been mentioned in that situation. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْيُمْ. Do you know how much it pains a mother when you give her that look? You know the look I'm talking about. Do you know how it cuts a mother when you give her that look? You'll know when you're a mother. You'll know when you come home from residency at 11 o'clock and you're dead tired and the only thing you want to do is put your head on the pillow and your baby daughter's sick and you sit up with her the entire night. Right? And you carry her on just because you want her to be comfortable, not because she can't sleep. When you see something in the fridge and you say, oh, maybe the kids will want to eat it, and so you just leave it for them, whether they eat it or not, then you'll know. You'll know when you see a small child that can't wash its own feces, and you've done enough diapers for the day, right? Just because your parent doesn't make diapers not smelly. And no one enjoys diaper duty, right? But the mother will do it, and the father will do it, and then you hug the same baby. And that same child, one day he goes up and he gives you the look, it hurts. When they say, mom and dad, you're always like this, or you're just too this, or you're just too that, right? You don't even care about me. Yeah, many of us might have said that, right? You don't even care about me. Isliye hum mare, because it's for this reason that we've died for you. We worked two jobs. You know, had no money, always bought for stuff for you before us. I can't remember the last time like you think about buying anything for yourself, because you think anytime you get money in your pocket, you're like, I want to buy something for the kids. Right? The same kids, one day they stand up and they look at you in the face and they start, you know, asking you bad questions. It hurts. First, do no harm. If you take something from this talk, forget, you're going to forget all that ithar and all that something. Just be good to your parents. It will stand you in good in the long run. Maybe not in the dunya. Maybe your life will be miserable. You don't want to become a doctor, as your parents said to become a doctor. You hate medicine, so on and so forth. Just do it. Who cares? Your akhirah will be good. Your akhirah will be good. Your akhirah will be good. Right? It's worth it. When you are good to your parents, no, and the other thing is, like, one thing is being good. This is not good. There's one thing is good and there's ihsan. So your parents tell you something, okay, mom. Right? That's one thing. When she says that, you're like, sure, mom, whatever you say. With a smile on your face, then the parents feel good. Because that's how they did things for you. They expect the same thing back from you. بِتَلَاقَةِ الْوَجْهِ بِتَلَاقَةِ الْقَلْبِ. Your heart should be open for them. Right? When you look at them, you should look with love in your eyes. How much Allah loves that. How many of us, when's the last time we called our parents and said, I love you? It doesn't get easier with time. We don't have that relationship. Make that relationship. Make that relationship. Take this with you, inshallah. Take this with you, inshallah. You will see how much barakah this will bring in your life. We can bring barakah to so many aspects of your life. Make a very good, they're in this life for a very short time. Don't hurt their hearts. Right? I could tell you about other human beings and stuff, but this is one thing that most people don't hear about and should hear about. And this is something that we all deal with, whether we're old or young, right? When your mother is passing away, she should think in her mind that there's no child on the face of earth like mine. When your father's passing away, he should say, if there should be a son or a daughter on the face of earth, it should be like mine. Earn that name for yourself. Do khidmah of them, khidmah of them, khidmah of them. until you are blue in the face, even with la nuridu minkum jaza'un wala shukura. Don't expect a single thank you. Don't expect any gratitude. Don't expect anything. Just expect from Allah. Wa ma tuqaddimu li anfusikum min khairin tajidu indallah. Inshallah, you'll find something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli.